The judicial inquiry into allegations of misconduct at the Public Investment Corporation, or PIC, got underway in Pretoria today. This much-anticipated inquiry aims to investigate some serious allegations of misconduct and corruption at the PIC, which of course manages more than 2 trillion rand on behalf of the Government Employee Pension Fund. On the line is Tabi Lioka. She's an independent economist who is also involved with the inquiry. Tabi, welcome to the show. What happened today?
Hi. So I'm also part of the commission, and so I cannot have too much of an opinion on the testimony. But to give your listeners an indication, those who didn't have an opportunity to watch it, because I do know that there were two other commissions at the same time. So we had the first person to testify is the acting secretary of the PIC, Wilma Lowe. And so she was going through basically what goes on in terms of, you know, governance in at the board level. So it was very technical, running us through the processes, the various committees that make part of the board. She did answer a few questions about, I think the commissioner, Jill Marcus, asked her about audit and risk and why they are a few people in that committee, and she, you know, she alluded to having a beefed up committee to deal with certain issues within, let's say, because given the size of the organization. So we also had Mr. Roy Rajda, who's the executive head of impact investment at the PIC, again procedural, telling us exactly what he does, what investments they do, what influences the investments, even the investment philosophy, why they invest in certain companies. We then had the last testimony coming from Sholto Damola, who is the executive head of research and project development. And again, he was, you know, went through his role when he started at PIC, how many people does he manage? And, also, again, his sort of investment philosophy, why does he make decisions and how he makes the decisions, the size of his team, and also the competence of his team. And I guess just like the Zonda Commission, how it started, if you remember, it typically starts with quite procedural, because you want to understand what certain people do, the role they play, sort of the organization too, and then you'll, when people start coming forward in terms of their experiences, testimonies, you know, and then we'll start getting to, gaining traction in terms of various issues that may come up or may not come up. There's also this assumption, I guess, because the commission was set up by the president after hearing and reading a lot of allegations that related to the PIC. And so he put it together and in October appointed the commissioner. And my role, for instance, the former governor of the Reserve Bank, Jill Marcus, asked me to join to help with the team. And so the president was essentially, I guess he wanted to address the veracity of alleged improprieties. So our task is to investigate and also recommend.
The allegations are serious indeed. What are the time frames for this commission of inquiry? I know a report needs to go to the president, I think, by April. Do you think the commission would be able to get to the bottom of the allegations within this time frame?
So the interim report to the president is due on the 5th of February, and then the final report is due in on the 15th of April, and that's the deadline that the president has given us. The period that we'll be looking at is the 1st of January 2015 till the 31st of August 2018. So that's what the terms of reference say. However, if, for instance, there's someone who has important information that isn't within the time frame that was given by the president, and let's just say, for instance, there's a barrage of information that comes to us, especially in the latter part of the commission, that makes it necessary to extend. That will be up to the president to do so, and he will decide whether the information that has come through or that is coming through requires an extension of the commission.
Do you have a list of potential people who may testify before the commission?
Not currently. So we are going to put a list the day before on our website. But remember that some people, for instance, we want to ensure that people are protected. So having, let's say, a whole list prior could be intimidating for some. We don't also want people to be intimidated prior to their testimony because we've got a names for the whole month that is placed on our website. So we are actually going to inform the public the day before and we'll put this on our website.
The key question, of course, is, what will come out of the investigation or the inquiry? What powers does the, commission have if irregularities are discovered?
So it goes to the president, and he can take it all the way. He can prosecute in terms of he can allow a prosecution to occur, but all of this is up to the onus as well. I guess the president has the powers, but we do have, for instance, the powers to subpoena, which just like other commissions. So I guess with the president, we've seen the other commissions. He wants to get to the bottom of a lot of allegations, and hopefully we'll see something if there is there are people who are implicated or entities that are implicated. The president will take it all the way through the criminal justice system.
We'll have to leave it there. Thank you, Tabi. That was Tabi Lioka. She's an independent economist who is involved with the inquiry. Arnold Segawa, journalist at MoneyWeb, attended the event today. Arnold, welcome to the show. Interesting developments may be overshadowed by the state capture inquiry, where we have seen significant and explosive revelations. What actually transpired at the PIC inquiry today?
Good to have you. Good to be on the show, Rick. Without a doubt, it was overshadowed by many of the revelations at the state capture inquiry. One person actually making a remark that the kind of money that is being thrown around at the state capture inquiry, chances are that the source might be more liquid than a VBS bank at the time. But the happenings in Pretoria, it was a very interesting look under the hood of how the PIC does operate, the first half of the inquiry itself, it was just trying to understand the underpinnings and what makes this huge asset manager tick. And even the second half, when the gentleman was actually the executive head of Impact Investment, Roy Raja, when he was being asked these follow-up questions, it was more an understanding of what makes you tick, what goes into an investment, how do you evaluate, how do you look at risk, how do you do due diligence, how many suppliers handle due diligence. So these are the kind of questions that were being asked, and chances are it will be very fascinating between today and Wednesday.
The format of the hearings, are they pretty similar to what we are seeing at the Zonder Commission?
Thus far, no. You do get the sense that the PIC has not let off a lot of information on what goes into many of his unlisted investments. Not many people are actually privy to this information. So the questions that are being asked, at least for today, I cannot really commit to tomorrow and Wednesday, the questions that are being asked are not as reveling as the ones at the state capture inquiry. And maybe this is what it's kind of a preamble to something that is bigger, but you cannot be asking the big questions before you understand how is an investment made. Mm-hmm. And questions around walk-ins, basic things like if I have a deal that I think the PIC should look into, can I table this? And is the PIC able to actually take this on? And actually, the executive head of Impact Investing said yes. And then a follow-up question here that was very interesting was the fact that he was asked whether or not there are more walk-in deals at a table at the PIC as opposed to solicited deals. And yeah. He said, yes, there are more walk-ins as opposed to solicited deals. So it's kind of a more understanding of what makes the PIC tick as we do head into the heavy hitters tomorrow on Wednesday.
Will indeed be very interesting. Thank you, Arnold. That was Arnold Segawa. He's a MoneyWeb journalist. Makwe Masilela from Makwe Fund Managers. This is a very, very important inquiry. The PIC has the livelihood or the pensions of so many government employees and members in their hands. How should they look at these events?
You know, it's very important for them to understand what's happening with their money, because remember the PIC itself, you know, is, or the GEPF, which is the major client, is a defined contribution. So I know that I'm going to be getting X amount. And for me to be able to get that, then it means that the guy should continue to make the right investments. And generally, you know, it's just a simple principle that you make an investment because you believe you're going to make good returns. You don't just make an investment because somebody persuaded you to do that. That's totally wrong and it's not acceptable. And yes, people made investments before. Other investments went okay. Others, didn't go okay. As an example, PIC did suffer a lot when it comes to the likes of Steinhoff, but at the same time, they did make good money when it comes to the likes of Naspers. And I think we just need to put this in context. It's not only the PIC who's got made good and bad investments. We've got other companies before who tried to do that. We have likes of All Mutual, Investec. Everyone who's involved in investment community knows that sometimes you get it right, sometimes wrong. But we are a good investment manager if most of the times we get it right. Because if every time we're getting it right, then we won't be here. We'll be somewhere else owning our own private island. So the basic thing is you should be able to show consistency that you are getting your investment right. But as you said, it has to be informed. Why are you buying that particular company? Not because somebody persuaded you.
But that's a critical point you made earlier, and that is that the government employee pension fund is a well-managed fund. It has performed really well. Yes, there were mistakes made, but it's well capitalized. Members or pensioners or members belonging to the fund should not be too concerned about the performance side of it, although it can be concerning that there were at the fund management side some shenanigans going on.
Very concerning, because as much as they are guaranteed, it means that if the fund doesn't perform, then me and US taxpayers, it means we have to jump in, because we have to make sure that they get whatever they have been promised. Bear in mind that also these guys, they've got escrow to escrow when it comes to clients, the GEPF, talking to the PIC. The GEPF, to my understanding, they also have their own investment committee. So I think some of these things should have been, or they should be able to see them at that level, let alone waiting for the board to report to whatever. But the fact remains, if there are wrong things that have been done, definitely they have to be dealt with. And one has to note that we'll all have interest, because one way or the other, whether I'm a government employee or not, for the fact that I'm part of the government, in the sense that the government is using my taxpayers, it also concerns me.
Thank you, Makwe. That was Makwe Masilela. He's the Chief Investment Officer at Makwe Fund Managers.